Hi. I'm glad to see all of you here tonight, and we're going to have a great weekend. Original sin was cleansed from my soul on March 20th, 1949, and I was a wee little baby. How many of you know the date of your baptism? One, two, three, four. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, you know how Father Becca is always challenging you to do something, right? I challenge you to go back home when you leave here and find out when you were baptized. And remember that date every day of your life. Because that is the day that you became a child of God. That is the day that original sin was washed away from your soul. Okay? Do we do that? Yes?
Yes?
Yes. Okay. Now, what are some of the things we should know about this God of ours? Number one is that he loves us beyond love. He loves us so much. And number two is we have to love him back. We have to get to know God to love him. How do we get to know God so that we can love him? We have to talk to him. You talk to God the way you would to your best friend. Just talk to him. Like you would to your parents when you're in trouble or need to know some advice. You can pray in prayers that you've memorized. And you can listen to God talking to you through reading scripture. Pope Paul VI tells us that when we read scripture, that's God talking to us. And we need to do that every day. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, God doesn't answer my prayers. He can't be real. He doesn't answer my prayers. Okay, if you were walking down the street and you saw somebody that you didn't know and you walked up to them and said, hey, can you make a miracle for me? What do you think that person would say to you? What? Who are you? I don't even know you, and you're asking me to do a miracle? Well, it's the same thing with God. Sometimes the only time we talk to God is when we want something. How many of you think of God, wake up in the morning and say, oh, thank you, Lord, for a beautiful sunrise. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. Thank you, Lord, for anything. Thank you for my family. A lot of times we don't remember to do that. But if something goes wrong, right away, we're on our knees, you know, or we're holding, you know, please God, let this happen, let that happen. Well, maybe God is saying, who are you? I don't hear from you from one end of the year to the next. And now you call upon me, you want something? So we have to think about that. You get to know God. To love him, you have to know him. God is a creator. He created the universe, he created the world, he created the trees, the sky. There's no such thing as a Big Bang theory, because a Big Bang is confusion. But with God, it's order. Everything has its place. There's a sunrise every morning and a sunset every night, whether we can see it or not because of the weather. There are stars in the sky that are put in certain places. Everything has its order. In the animal kingdom, from the tiniest amoeba, you know, to human beings, everything has order. God created man. He created woman. And God sent prophets to guide his people. And to get them back on track and to save them from slavery. When God saw the shepherds leading his people astray, did he say, oh well, I guess we've got bad shepherds leading our people astray. Chalk that one up. No. In Jeremiah 23, verse 3 and 4, God said, I myself will gather the remnant of my flock to all the lands to which I have driven them. And I will appoint shepherds who will shepherd them. So they will be no longer fear. Thus says the Lord. Now, Father Beke was telling you a little while ago about, you know, sometimes you'll get a priest who's kind of boring up there. Did God leave those priests in your parish? If indeed you ever had one like that. Well, you know, God decided he was going to bring your parish up to the 20th century. So in comes Father Beke, like a whirlwind, you know, stirring up that pot. Because he loves God. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you cannot help but love God. The way Father Beke loves God. Everything he does, every fiber of his being, he loves God, and it shows. And we can't be embarrassed. God tells us through Scripture that if we're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of us. If you say something about God to one of your friends and they say, oh, please, you say, no, I believe that, and you need to respect what I believe. It's not just what you believe that's important. It's what I believe in my heart is important. Respect my belief. Because if you're ashamed of God, he will be ashamed of you. God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He always was, he is, and he always will be. But we change. God is always moving us forward, closer to him. Sometimes we have to go through pain. We have to go through a loss. But that's not God driving us away from him. That's God pulling us toward him. And sometimes the more the suffering, the greater that pull that God is pulling us towards him. It's not an accident that all of you are here tonight. Some people could come. Some people were going to come and couldn't come. Some people showed up that weren't initially going to come. And all of you students, you're not here because you felt like coming or you were forced to come. You're here because God chose you, each and every one of you, to be his sons and daughters. He wants you individually. You're not going to go to heaven with your friends. And let's hope nobody in this room goes to hell with their friends. You have to make up your mind right now. You're young men and young women. Love God. Make it your business to keep him in your life or to put him in your life if he's not already there. God gave us reconciliation so that when we get out of line, we can always go to confession, to reconciliation, and that pulls us back in that forward march. Sometimes you feel like you're stationary and not moving, but you are. And the more you love God, the more you do things for God, the more you show other people God, the more you move forward. It may take 50 years to move forward. But you're not moving backward. You're constantly moving towards him. You know, the enemy, the evil one, is always trying to pull us away from God. He'll tell us things like, oh, it feels so good under these covers. I don't want to go to Mass today. I just want to sleep. That's the evil one, putting that thought in your head. You see money laying on the table. And the evil one is, oh, nobody's going to see you take that money. Just take it. Nobody will miss it. Doesn't matter if they miss it. God is seeing you take that money that doesn't belong to you. Because today it'll be a few pennies, tomorrow it'll be a quarter, and then it'll be a watch, and next thing you know, you're in jail because you stole a car. You know, people don't become alcoholics overnight. One drink leads to two drinks, leads to a case of beer, for instance. Okay? And the same with a thief or anything bad. It's the devil that is constantly trying to pull us away from God. You know, sometimes we're harder on ourselves when we do something that's wrong. You know? Like, okay, for instance, one of my oldest daughter, when she was 16, she had a car. And one stipulation for her to drive that car was that she could not take any of her friends in that car with her for the first year that she was driving. And they didn't have cell phones back then, thank goodness. But she was not allowed to take one of her friends in the car. And you know, you think your parents aren't going to find out. Parents find out. They always find out. I was in the supermarket and I met the principal of her grade school, Sister Patricia. So, Mrs. Carubia, you'll never guess who I saw yesterday. Oh, who did you see? Anna. I said, oh, really? Yeah, her and Erin came up to see me and she was driving her car, but don't worry, they both had their seatbelts on. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah. So they were both in the car with their seatbelts on. She said, oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Have a good day. I couldn't wait for my daughter to get home then. I couldn't wait. She walked in the door. Oh, hi, Mom. You know, I said, oh, hi, Anna. You'll never guess who I met today. She said, oh, who'd you meet? Sister Patricia. And she goes, well, she's looking around, you know, like, how am I going to get out of this one? She puts her hand in her pocket, pulls out her keys, and she hands them to me, and she says, I won't drive for a month. So, I mean, I was going to say 2 weeks, but she was harder on herself than I would have been on her. So parents always find out. Not that they are looking to find out, but eventually they will find out. So don't listen to the deceiver. You know, Jesus stretched out his arms for us, and he died on the cross. A terrible, horrible, painful death to save us from our sins. He was God's son. And when God was on the cross, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, why have you abandoned me? And sometimes we feel like God has abandoned us, don't we? Different times in our lives when we just think, well, he's just, you know, he's not there. He abandoned me. No. He loved his son and he loves us. He loves you, each and every one of you. You need to keep God in the center of your life. Because if you put yourself in the center of your life, you'll never be happy. Because everything around you is going to rock that wheel. If you put God in the center of your life, whenever anything goes wrong, whenever anything is good, you can go to that center. You can go into that center and find peace and happiness. And that's something that you have to remember. Sometimes the more severe the suffering, the greater the purification, and the closer we get to God. God loves us, and we have to love him back. How many of you this weekend are going to try to find out what it's like to love God and to love him back, really sincerely in your heart? How many of you want to love God back? That's great, because he loves every one of you, and he wants you to love him. Give God the glory he deserves. Amen. Thank you.